The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Let's say the words together. Jesus came eating and drinking. Heavenly Father, thank you that you come amongst us to do the ordinary things like eating and drinking with us. Bless us as we meditate on these words and as we go out eating and drinking in your name in the world. For Jesus' sake, amen. Now, for those of you who are visiting here today, and a few of you are, or you haven't been here for a week or two, we've been focusing on these three sentences in the Bible, the Son of Man came. Only three of them. One of them's repeated somewhere, but basically there's only three of them. The Son of Man came to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. That's Mark 10. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. That's Luke 19, verse 10. And then the Son of Man came eating and drinking. In the past 2 weeks, we've seen how Jesus served people in humility and gave his life as a ransom for all. And we've seen how Jesus sought for all the lost people in the world, and including us, because he has such compassion for all people. He made all people, as we've just said. He's the author of salvation and the creator and everything. And he loves us all, and he doesn't want any single person to be lost, not one. And he died on the cross for that to happen. We've been amazed that Jesus came from the heights of heaven, and that, would you believe, I didn't pick that song, but it's got it all in there. Isn't it? From the heights of the heaven where everything was, honky-dory, and he came down to earth where everything was pain and suffering to save us and every person under a bush and every person that's hidden away and locked away in some institution, every person. But the third thing that Jesus came to do is perhaps the most surprising. The Son of Man came eating and drinking. Eating and drinking is so ordinary. We do it at least three times a day. Some hardly stop. Eating and drinking. The lino between the fridge and the kitchen table is worn out, pretty much. We eat and drink to live. We eat and drink to have fun and to celebrate. We eat and drink to show love. We engage in deep, do they still happen, deep conversations? To pull off business deals. You know where a lot of the big conversations of the Reformation happened? Not in the lecture theatre, although a lot of them did, but a lot of them happened where? You know where? Around Luther's table. With Mrs. Luther running around all the time cooking food and bringing out her best beer, and she was a beer maker, by the way, bringing out her best beer and feeding those students so they could talk, and it was called table talk around the table. Eating and drinking together builds up community. But when we eat and drink alone, what does that do? If we're always eating and drinking alone, how sad, how sad. And that's a good little lesson to think of our older people who are alone and can't get out so much, to take a sandwich and eat with them. When I was in Murray Bridge, and this is nothing, it's not in my sermon this, so when I was in Murray Bridge trying to help out this year, I decided that the lunch hour's a wasted hour, sort of, isn't it? You can't go and knock on people's door at lunchtime unless you bring your own lunch. Now, I wasn't prepared to waste an hour in Murray Bridge, so I always took my lunch. I'd knock on the door and say, "Do you mind if I eat my lunch with you?" And so we had the greatest fellowship over the lunch hour, as I ate my lunch and they ate theirs. The Son of Man came eating and drinking. He began his ministry by turning water into wine at a wedding. What a bang. And he completed his ministry by barbecuing fish on the beach. That's basically, I mean, there were still a few things after that, but that's basically the two bookends of his ministry. He banqueted with Matthew, the tax collector, and his cronies after he'd been converted, and he was the guest in the house of Zacchaeus, the tax collector, who was just in the process of being converted by Jesus coming and sharing food with him in his house. In both cases, he was judged by the Pharisees for mixing with and eating with sinners. And in both cases, Jesus replied, roughly speaking, well, that's what I came to do, wasn't it? That's what I came to do. I mean, he said, well, people don't need doctors, do they? People who are well don't go to the doctor, although I do because I've got to go and have my warfarin check every month, but I'm well. But sick people are the ones who go to doctors, don't they? Sick people. And Jesus said, I'm a doctor and I've come for the sick people. And by the way, the Pharisees were probably the sickest, but they didn't know they were, did they? So Jesus went around eating and drinking. He ate with Simon the Pharisee and his self-right. So he didn't just eat with tax collectors, he ate with Pharisees as well as he did in the text that we read today. But while he was in the houses of the tax of the Pharisees, often some woman or somebody would come creeping in and spoil the party for the Pharisee, but really bring it alive for Jesus because he could love that person. He ate at Simon Peter's house or his mother-in-law's house, whatever it was. He ate at Mary and Martha's house. He ate at Cleopas and his wife's house. And each of them had their eyes and their hearts opened, and Jesus came into their lives as their Savior and their healer. He made them whole people again. And on many occasions, he fed crowds of hungry people. And he told story after story about banquets and being invited to banquets. And he said the kingdom of heaven is like a marriage feast or a banquet or whatever. And it goes on and on and on, this talk about food and feasting and banquets and not much about fasting. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, above all when he ate the Passover meal with his disciples, and it became the Last Supper, and it is now the Lord's Supper. There Jesus served us on his knees, washing feet. There Jesus sought the lost as he reached out to Judas. Remember, Judas was sitting there with him. One last time, he reached out to Judas. And there Jesus gave to them what on the next day he was going to give for them, his body and blood. Take and eat, this is my body. Take and drink, this is my blood, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This is for you, Judas. Can you picture Jesus there saying that to Judas? This is for you, take and eat. For you, Judas, who will betray me. This is for you, disciples, who will deny me and desert me. They were really a bunch of crooks sitting around the table, weren't they? Because they were all going to turn their backs on every. Not one of them was going to really stand up within just a couple of hours. This is for you, members of St. Mark's, who will sometimes follow faithfully and sometimes at a distance, who will sometimes confess me and sometimes will deny me, either by your words or by the way you live your life. This is for you, members of St. Mark's, who will sometimes love me with all your heart and serve me for all your worth, and sometimes you'll fall in love so much with the world that you'll just chase after that. And then Jesus goes on to say, do this in remembrance of me. Keep eating and drinking to remember me. Yes, preach about it, about me, Yes, sing to me. Yes, give offerings to my work. But above all, have a meal together. Do this in remembrance. He's talking about communion. Do this in remembrance of me. He doesn't say that about any of the others. Just this one thing. Do this in remembrance of me. I'll be with you in a meal, in other words. I'll come to you in a meal. Remember me in a meal. Receive me in a meal. And so we continue to do until Jesus comes again. We eat our way into the kingdom of God, as somebody said. We eat our way into the kingdom of God, and we keep eating our way into the kingdom of God. And we're not done with all this on this earth, because one of the last words of the Bible is, "Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage feast of the Lamb, when the bridegroom and the bride celebrate eternal love." So where does this leave us here in Mount Barker as we eat our way through this life into the world to come? Surely this means that we will continue, that we'll come to remember and receive Jesus in Holy Communion as often as we can. As often as we can. I remember in a parish somewhere not so far away that I noticed that some people they'd just sit in the pew and didn't come to communion. And at some stage I happened to, just talked to them about it, and they said, "Well, when I was confirmed," that would have been like 70 years ago or more, "the pastor said, don't go to communion too often." Was anyone else told that? It happened, it was said. And remember, how often did we used to have communion, Helen? Once a month, that was if you were lucky. I reckon it was every 2 months where I went somewhere, in Balaclava or somewhere. Yeah, it wasn't too often. You don't want to take these things too often, do you? Like, it's like saying you don't want to have sex too often, you might stop enjoying it. That's really an aside, but nevertheless, yeah. But you see what I'm getting at, don't you? Don't come to meet with Jesus too often in communion, or you might take it for granted. I don't think that's what Jesus is saying. He says, keep doing this in remembrance of me. Now let's try and apply that a little bit into our own lives, apart from the communion, because we leave church and we go out into the world. Surely this means we'll eat together as often as we can, as families. That's pretty basic, isn't it? In other words, don't have meals in front of television unless you really can't get out of it. Yeah. Or as we open our homes and invite others into our homes, or we go out to share a meal with somebody else who's invited us. Never say no to anyone who invites you for a meal, because that is such a precious time when we gather around at somebody's table and talk together and grow together. And what about birthdays? Should we celebrate birthdays? You bet. With food and wine or whatever. Celebrate birthdays and anniversaries. And funerals. I'm opposed to private funerals, because I think everybody should be able to be part of a funeral. That's what I think. This is not a word from the Lord. This is from me. Funerals are important as we gather together to... What do we do at the funeral? We remember. Remember. I was at an old scholar's dinner last night. You know what we did most of the night? We remembered. And because it was 50 years or so since most of our class left college and started getting some better food to eat, but so lots of silly jokes were told about what it was like, especially the food. What was food like at Concordia, I wonder? Wasn't too flash in Emmanuel, that's for sure. Yeah. So food, when we meet together over food, you see, we remember. It's a time to remember. At each meal, there's lots of love. And we develop friendships over meals. We have deep discussions. Food and love belong together. God comes to us in love through bread and wine. And a young person goes out with the person they love and they sit opposite each other and have their whatever it is they're eating or drinking between them. And then they look at each other, don't they? They look into each other's eyes in love. People are bonded together in love through coffee. Some people who are coming to this church every Sunday now, for a long time now, I don't want to give too much away here, but it started, basically they came to church and Joy and I and they went out for coffee. Immediately, the first Sunday. And I'm sure it wasn't the coffee, but it's a bonding, you see? It's a bonding that takes place. Now, on Australian Story last Monday night, or maybe it was Four Corners, I can't remember, it was on Syria, and some of you would have seen it. It was about children suffering the effects of the war in Syria. And there was a mother there who talked about how she and her husband, every morning the first thing they did was he would get up and make coffee and they would drink a coffee together. The war came, he's disappeared, probably been killed, they've run away, and they're in Germany where they're very thankful for the welcome they've received. But do you know what she does every morning? She makes a coffee for two, and drinks both of them. Why? And it almost sounded like communion talk, to remember her husband. Now we know that's not communion, but it had almost the same talk. Tony Campolo was in a different time zone and he couldn't sleep. And sorry to you who you've heard this before. He went for a walk looking for a coffee in the middle of the night. It was about 2 a.m. and he was in a little cafe called a diner. And in walked half a dozen sex walkers. Sex workers, I mean. They were walking. They were just coming off their night shift. And he overheard one of them called Agnes say, "It's my birthday tomorrow." And the other said, "Well, basically, so what?" But Campolo, and many of you have read Campolo, is a pastor, and he got an idea. And he went after the girls left, he talked to the proprietor and he said, "Do they come in every night?" "Yes, every night, same time they come in." He said, "Why don't we decorate the place for tomorrow night? For 2 a.m. tomorrow night, and we'll get a cake, and then when they come in, we'll sing happy birthday." And the guy thought that was quite a good idea. So the next night, there they were, and in came the girls, and they sang happy birthday, and they brought out the cake. This was the big feature, the cake. Brought out the cake and gave it to Agnes. And what do you think Agnes did? She cried. And she cried, and she cried, and she cried. And she asked if she could take the cake home. She was nearly 40. And she said, "This is the first time I've ever had a birthday cake." And Campolo prayed a prayer. And the guy said, What sort of church are you from?" After everybody gone, he said, "I'm from the church that throws parties for prostitutes at 2 a.m. in the morning." Yeah. So how can we bring the love of Jesus to people? Through food. That's it, isn't it? How can we bring the love of Jesus to people through food? Because that's what they were doing, weren't they? A church in a rundown part of a city somewhere in America, can't remember where, goes out to a street corner in a really rundown part of that city once a week. And they bring lots of music from lots of old tin cans and all sorts of pretty average kind of instruments, but it makes a lot of noise. And the poor gather, and the homeless gather, and all the unchurched people gather with the church people. That's something, isn't it? The unchurched gather with the church. The despised gather with those who've been received and welcomed. And they dance in the streets. They dance in the streets, and then the church people distribute food to them. And you know what kind of food it isn't? It isn't soup and rolls. It's party food, whatever that is. It's party food. And you know, they don't need to preach to those people because they demonstrate the kingdom of God by what they do. Because the kingdom of God is like a street party or a banquet or whatever to which everybody is invited. Somebody has said, the banquet is open to all who are willing to sit down with all. Everybody's welcome here, so long as you're prepared to welcome everybody here. That's a good lesson for the church, isn't it? On Sunday over morning tea. You're welcome here, providing you're prepared to talk to everybody who's come here, especially the ones you don't know. Desmond Tutu said, and don't you love Desmond Tutu with his giggle? What I love most about God is his wonderfully low standards. Of course, God has ultimate standards too. But to reach people, he will go to the depths even of a cross. He reaches out. He came eating and drinking with those who were furthest from God and with those in most need of love and forgiveness and with those most despised by the religious types. And he still does that. He comes to us in bread and wine, given to us in the church. But then we take bread and soup or whatever it is out with us to them, wherever they are. Whether it's in Hungry No More or whether it's on a street corner or wherever it is. We take that love of Jesus out to us. And often that includes food. The Son of Man still comes eating and drinking. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.